So there's quite a sea change in the Texas House. Now, those are sort of interesting figures for folks like myself and colleagues who wake up every morning thinking about this stuff. But there's some implications there that have bearing on our affairs. Probably the main one is the budget. But there are implications for redistricting too, which affects us indirectly in the sense that when folks are most concerned about their jobs and about re-election, they get cranky about doing stuff that doesn't get their desires met until other things are done. So, short version, you hear different figures about the budget situation. Part of the reason for that is that the House and the Senate, each one plans to file its own bill this time. I think we'll have a third bill, but we know we're going to have two. That, again, kind of an interesting tidbit, but what it means is that unlike the normal session where both chambers are working off one beginning point so that you have a constant frame of reference for whatever changes are made in each chamber, instead, we're going to have a pretty significant different starting point in the House compared to the Senate. And you hear figures coming out of the Senate side that the shortage, if you will, the budget shortfall, is somewhere around 15% or so. And given, we won't go into it, but given the way that's determined, that's reasonable and plausible and certainly makes good sense. On the House side, the chairman of the committee is position for starting is that we're going to have about a 25% reduction in the budget. So somewhere in between, in all likelihood, and in the way things go through a session, somewhere between those points is where we're going to end up. Assuming something dramatically different doesn't happen with respect to the economy. Back to those new members a minute. In order to get beyond this 25% or so shortfall in the budget, we need to access the rainy day fund, a fund set aside for hard times. It's estimated to have somewhere around $8 billion in it, and it takes a two-thirds majority, the supermajority, to access it. Well, we all know what many elections were campaigned on last time, and we know what many of those new 22 members are going to be thinking about. So to get a supermajority, to get 100 votes in the House, to access those additional funds that are in the Rainy Day Fund is going to be quite a challenge. Senate, different story, but some of the mechanics are similar. Two-thirds rule has obtained in the Senate for generations. It's a supermajority required for the legislation to flow onto the floor. The result is most things that come to the Senate floor have majority support and more, so they move along pretty smartly. Well, there's been discussion, and there's quite a bit of pressure to set aside the two-thirds rule. And if that happens, we're going to see a whole new way of doing business in the Senate, too. Now, all these things are sort of inside baseball, but they have a significant effect on the ability of the two chambers to conduct their business in an orderly way and get policies passed and to get the budget passed. In the midst of all this, and there's no, we won't go into this, but it's there lurking, is the redistricting. It's a redistricting session. And the House, as I mentioned, has 98 currently, 99. There's one election being contested. There's a recount underway. But so 98 or 99 Republican members. The natural in desire is to carve out, in redistricting, 98 or 99 districts. That's going to be a challenge. So that's working in the midst of all these things about the budget, too. So immediate point to us, our A&M institutions, I'm counting the agencies also, of course, they're institutions of higher ed as well, have 22 new members to educate. We have about 16 or 17 of those 22 have A&M system presence, institutions or agency centers in their district. So we have a short time frame to get them educated, and that's what our presidents and agency heads are spending a lot of time on. budget landscape, there's a good bit of numbers. I'm going to defer talking about that too much beyond what we have, because the only numbers who really count in terms of how much money we have to appropriate are those which are set forth by the comptroller in January. We know we're short. We know we have a number of challenges. We know that some of our institutions are going to be affected much more dramatically by, and I mentioned this the last time I was before you, by the indications currently looking almost certain that special items will be deleted, certainly from the House bill. Well, that has a vastly different effect to some of our institutions compared to others. The range of proportional funding comprised of or composed of special items ranges from 50% on the high side to around 4% on the low side. So unlike when you make formula changes, which have some degree of equitability whenever you make a change in the formulas, when you make a dramatic change in the way we've budgeted for at least 20 years with respect to special items, your effect on different institutions is dramatically different. That combined with all these other things makes it for a lot of uncertainty right now. The thing I'd like to close with, if you'd pop that slide up, please. When I was here before you the last time, these were takeaway points. Said briefly, this environment isn't one biennium. We're not going to get over this next biennium, unlike the changes. When we were cut 13% in 1986, that was for the remainder of that biennium. And the succeeding biennium in 87, we got partially well again. We didn't get fully well, but we got an uptick. The environment's different now. And it's sort of pervasive throughout the country, not just in Texas. More and more and more, all the indicators point to the necessity of our doing what y'all, the Chancellor and the Board, have encouraged us to do for going on 2 years now. When you started with your shared services encouragement, and that is to find ways to become more productive with less money, and not just by some temporary shortcut kind of things, but really taking a hard look at how do we redesign our whole operation in order to get more productive with what looks to be almost surely less money for a long time going forward. The state support, I can say this with almost 100% certainty, state support at the level that we have enjoyed for the last 15, 20 years is never coming back to that level again. There are too many competing functions in state government that are chewing up ever more resources. Meanwhile, tuition and fees, we've pretty well topped out either because of the positions that the board has taken or because of market forces, either one. There's only so much latitude there. So we are facing throughout higher ed the necessity of seriously looking at how do we revamp our business to become more productive. That's probably the biggest, most important takeaway from the current situation we're in.